Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Aloha, all you crazy kids out there who love movies like me. I am Ryan, and I am the host of Real Nerds Podcast. For 14 years, I have seen a new movie and podcast the experience the world, and I couldn't do it on my own. That's why I brought along my hetero life mate, Brad.
Ooh, such a special designation for me.
Yep. You know, I feel like I should.
Isn't your wife also your like hetero life mate?
Yeah, but she's not here right now, so.
Oh, so I'm just your side piece.
Yeah, your second fiddle.
I'm just the late night booty call.
Yep. Now you know where you stand.
Yeah.
Brad, how are you?
Just racing towards, I think I said last time, the Esquire movie's turning into a feature, so.
Oh, yeah.
Chasing that dragon.
Very cool.
So, yeah. And a lot of people are, like, encouraging it, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, I should probably, this might be my only chance to do a feature, so I'm like, okay, I'll take, like, the next 2 weeks to, like, figure out how to add, like, 30 minutes to the script, so I'm gonna tinker with
just
that.
Just do a trash bag blowing in the wind. That won an Academy Award, so.
Just take a break from the plot, and all of a sudden I just, like, spend 10 minutes watching that bag float around, and then cut back to the story. That'd be pretty, like, art house avant-garde.
Hell yeah. And yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, no, I've got some pretty good ideas. It's just a matter of, like, getting the details down of what people have to say. And then, like, it's going to require building sets, so.
Oh, like, wow.
I want to do it, but I don't want to spend a lot of money. So, yeah, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Just work all the time. Nothing that exciting. I did go to Las Vegas this week. Wink, wink. And I checked actually I have a really funny story. So, you know, I go to Las Vegas to see Rod Stewart. And the first night I was there, with my wife, and he sang her favorite song that he sings that he hardly ever sings live, and my wife cried, and it was awesome.
I go, you love, oh, make your wife cry.
Yeah, she loves Rod Stewart like I do. And he was really good. It was his 200th show in Las Vegas, so he played like four more songs than he normally plays, and it was almost 3 hours long, the concert, so it was really fun. And then on Friday, my cousin and his wife came with us because they renewed their wedding vows, and I wanted to see Rod Stewart again, and Laura decided to go with my cousin and his wife to go see RuPaul's Drag Race. And so I'll tell the funny story first. So here's a hint if you go to Vegas to see Rod Stewart or anybody. I got tickets on the stage right, so it would be my left. And I was like seven rows back. And I mean, yeah, they're still expensive, like $200. But if you get them in the center, they're like $800. But Rod Stewart's stage wraps around the seats on the left and stage left and stage right. So he comes over there quite a bit, and you're actually in the front row when he comes over there. So he was thinking downtown train, and he's like walking towards me and singing and, you know, being Rod Stewart. And all of a sudden he stops and he points not at me, but right behind me. And he looks at me and says, "Mate, that guy behind you has his pants down." And I look, and this dude's getting a fucking hand job behind me.
Oh my God.
It's fucking 100% true. And so Rod Stewart's laughing and he's like, "Pull up your fucking pants, mate." And then he looks at me and says, "Can you believe that? Can you believe that guy?" And so I had a Rod Stewart talk to me about a guy getting a hand job at his concert.
And you're like, "Why wasn't I invited?"
Yeah.
Right here.
So it was kind of surreal. I'm like, man, I'm talking to Rod Stewart about a hand job. What the fuck is going on? And it was so surreal. And no one, because I'm part of his fan club on Facebook, no one mentioned it. And there's a lot of people from the fan club there. And so I said, "Did anyone else notice what was happening behind me at the concert?" And this lady says, "Yeah, I was right there too. And I heard him tell that guy to pull up his pants. I didn't know he's getting a hand job." Yep. That happened. But then as long as I've watched Rod Stewart, he kicks signed soccer balls out into the audience during his encore. And I've never come close to getting one. And
he took one to the face.
Yeah. He was singing Hot Legs. And he doesn't really kick them anymore because sometimes people
break
get
a
hit
hip
in the face and they literally sue him for it. I know. So he kind of just, he and his backup singers just, you know, toss them out to the audience. And so on the second show, one of his backup singers grabbed a soccer ball and she looked at me and I said, "Yeah, throw it to me, throw it to me." And she threw it right to me.
Aw.
Yeah, I know.
Are they signed too?
They are signed. Yeah. And so I got it and then I felt kind of bad because I noticed the ladies in front of me never stood up. And so, I mean, it was literally just a clear path to me. But it also seemed like forever to get to me because I go, "Man, I can't drop this. I'll look like such a fucking tool." And I've wanted one of these for so long. And this is like, she literally looked at me and it was in slow motion as it's coming to me. And so I caught it. But the ladies in front of me never stood up. And then at the end of the concert, they both had walkers and they flew all the way from England. And they said, "Oh, that's so nice. Can we take a picture with the soccer ball?" I said, "Yeah, sure." And she said, "Don't worry, we can't run away." Okay. Well, if two old ladies from England still assigned soccer ball, I was never meant to have it.
Oh, so you just like posed with it?
Yeah, no, I let them hold it and they posed with it and they took, I took their picture for them. And
oh, you didn't just give
really
it to them?
Really nice ladies.
You didn't just give it to them because, you know, they're not going to enjoy
no.
it much longer?
No.
You still have a chance to get another one?
No.
Whereas they don't?
I mean, who knows if I'll have a chance to get another one? This one, hey, she singled me out. She threw it right to me. Okay? Look, I'm sure she's a really nice lady, but you know what? I have priorities too. I've wanted one for like 30 something years, ever since I saw him kick him out in 1984. All right.
I've gone to 100 concerts in Las Vegas and I've never got my soccer ball.
Oh, you want it? Psych. Fuck you, lady.
Just like Patrick Waugh. You just like jump in front and.
Yeah. So I had no like competition for it. So, I mean, that's really the reason I got it is because, you know, it's hard, even though, you know, his Holly Brewer is her name and she threw it to me. Like if someone's in front of you and you get something lobbed like that to you, there's going to be a fight for it, you know?
Yeah. What if it was a kid?
I'd push him down. And I'd say, "Your shit is weak. Your shit is weak." That's just how I roll, Brad, okay? Love me or hate me, I'm going to get that signed Rod Stewart soccer ball. And I have a case coming for it. It's taking forever.
Ooh.
Yep.
And a pedestal?
Yeah, it does. It's like a like a clear, it's made for soccer balls to display. I don't know. I mean, obviously it's a thing because I just typed in soccer ball display. Like hundreds of them.
I'm sure. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess sports memorabilia anyways, you know.
Ryan Frost's house can never have too many balls in it.
Yeah, you know how I fucking love them balls.
Yeah, you do.
Just give me more. Give me more, give me more. Yeah, so that was fun. And cool. We all got matching tattoos, and, you know, we live life to the fullest in Vegas.
Yeah, what the fuck? When are you going to get a real nurse tattoo?
When you pay me to do it.
You should just want to do it, but that's fine.
Never. No, I should. I might get one. We'll see. I need a really good picture of our logo, though. High quality.
I mean, it's not complicated. Probably print out anything and it'll show up pretty well. I mean, unless your tattoo artist is a fucking idiot.
Well, I mean...
Like, oh, is it that hard to draw a flat bunch of letters, like just black and white? I don't know.
Yeah, actually, that tattoo would probably take, I don't know, 20 minutes to get.
20 minutes, yeah.
But yeah, that's what I did.
It's a square. Yeah.
So this week, we saw Mickey 17. Stay tuned. Well, we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil the movie. Then we'll also talk about movies we watch throughout the week, because not only do we go see rock and roll legends, Brad, we also see movies. And that's our jam.
Hell yeah.
This guy knows what I'm talking about. Say, hey, Brad, do you recommend Mickey 17?
Yeah, it's all right. It's a lot. It's, if you're going expecting like Parasite, I think it's closer to Snowpiercer in vibe. Definitely a lot more comedic, than Parasite. But it's not like the concept isn't something that I haven't like seen a dozen times on Star Trek, you know? But I think everyone's having fun in it and the performances are pretty funny. And obviously it's the message behind it's pretty timely. So yeah, it's all right, but it didn't like blow me away or anything.
Yeah. When I saw it, I said, you know, this movie's fun. It wasn't like you mentioned like Parasite where, when I went into Parasite, I didn't know what to expect. And when I saw it, it was not what I was expecting. This one, I mean, you pretty much know what's going to happen. It ends up being, you know, class warfare. And
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's like a comedic Snowpiercer. Because even with the food, like, I kept on thinking of like the gelatin bricks they used to get in Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think you're spot on. The performances are great. The movie's fun. Here's the trailer for Mickey 17.
On Earth, nothing was working out, and I wanted to get the hell out of there.
You're applying to be an expendable?
You read through the paperwork?
Yeah. I should have read through it.
That's it. Mickey, deep breaths. Fill your lungs. Imagine there's an unknown virus in the air.
And you're sucking in every single microscopic particle floating around.
All the viruses.
So good.
There really was an unknown virus in the air. A lethal one.
See you tomorrow.
Fellow pioneers, almost every single one of you will be remembered throughout history.
They made me work my ass off, giving me one shitty mission after another.
You're an expendable! You're here to be expended!
Every time I died, they just printed me out again. Everyone asks, what's it feel like to die? The ship was filled with mostly dickheads. But Nasha, she's always loved me. That's when everything changed. Multiples.
In the case of multiples, we exterminate every individual.
Which body goes first? One at a time is twice the fun.
You don't look like you're printed out. You're just a person.
It's not your fault.
This is a fight to the death.
simple fact is, we're in a state of war, and our survival is in the balance.
I got a job to do.
Mickey Barnes, fighting right to the end.
My great gift to mankind.
Are you afraid to die?
This time I wasn't scared.
I mean, the trailer pretty much gives you the premise. Robert Pattinson plays a guy named Mickey, who is, well, what they don't say is he's trying to get away from Earth because he owes money to mobsters. And he decides the best way to get away is to get on this, I guess it's a colonization mission with a disgraced politician played by Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
And
he's basically building a cult, but
yeah. With red hats, go figure. And the only way he can for sure get on this next flight is by becoming an expendable. An expendable is someone who they use to make basically a clone of, but they get made as a copy, like a Xerox machine. And that's when I saw at the Alamo, they had a bunch of Xerox commercials before it. I go, oh, they tied this in nicely.
Yeah, but they use them to test out like all the stuff so that, before they get to the planet. They already have a planet in mind, but they just want to make sure, like, hey, is it habitable? So let's like test this guy on it.
Yeah, and it has the, breathe in the air, breathe it in. And then there's like some parasite that kills them over and over and over again until they build up a vaccine for it. On the way there, he falls in love with one of the security people. And then he's Mark Ruffalo's character. He did this, I don't know if you caught it, he did the Donald Trump dance at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Just on the nose. But Mark Ruffalo was fun in it. Robert Pattinson is really good. He's really good at doing American voices.
Yeah, I mean, he had to be that vampire for a bunch of years, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Remember when we watched all those movies? Or did I watch them all?
You and James watched them.
The last one?
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, you didn't even see the last one? I thought you weren't on that episode of Real Nerds.
No, I missed that one.
13, 14 years ago.
Now, if we do that missed movies thing again, that's probably what I'm going to like pull. It's a Twilight movie.
You know, when we do, we have to watch random movies that we haven't seen. I'm just going to put the Twilight saga, and someone's going to have to watch all four of them.
Mickey 17, like on one of his missions, he falls into a crevasse and they think he's dead, so they print off another one of him. But he gets home and now there's two, and that causes problems,
which is cool. What I didn't expect in the movie, though, what they don't say is each Mickey has a different personality a little bit.
Yeah, they don't carry all the same traits every time.
Yeah, because Mickey 18 is kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
They also touched on, I wasn't a big fan of the drug subplot. It really didn't do anything for the movie, you know what I mean?
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
They remember they would take the, I don't know what it was, they took it out of the guns, and when he went to, I can't remember his girlfriend's name, but when Mickey 18 went to his girlfriend's place first, they were high on that drug, and Steven Yeun's character was selling it to people, and yeah. That one did nothing for me.
I barely remembered it.
Yeah, so I guess it did nothing for you, too.
Yeah. The other part of the story is the inhabitants of the planet that they're trying to colonize.
Yeah.
Seem like a bunch of dumb animals, but then you find out that they're actually like pretty intelligent and trying to be helpful and welcoming, but dumbass humans with their arrogance think they can just like steamroll them. And they battle these creatures.
Obviously it's on purpose. They purposely look monstrous, but they're highly intelligent and Yeah, they help Mickey because he falls in that crevasse, and his friend just leaves him there to die because he wants to get back the flamethrower because he wants the drug out of that to give to people. And so, yeah, it's kind of an interesting little twist that those little worm things help him. And then at the end, you know, both Mickey's use the worms to trick Mark Ruffalo's character, and he gets what's coming to him.
Yep.
And Mickey 18 learns that it's better if Mickey 17 is the one who continues on.
Yeah, because at one point, once everyone finds out that there's two of them, there's like some rule that there's not allowed to be more than one clone, so they all have to be executed. So there's a stretch where they have to decide like what to do with these two guys, how best to exterminate them. So Mark Ruffalo has a pretty good plot of like sending them both out to, I forget what to do to the.
Oh, he wants 100 of those tails so his wife can make some sort of sauce out of them.
Oh yeah,
because it's a delicacy, played by Toni Collette, who is also really good in the movie.
Her and Mark Ruffalo is just like these cult leading rich people. Just like, yeah, it's so fun to watch.
Yeah. Even how they treat Mickey is fascinating because he wins the dinner with, you know, both of them, and he ends up eating something that kind of poisons him, and they say, well, just let him die. No, we'll give him this experimental drug to see what happens.
Yeah. And yeah, they poisoned him to test out the thing on him. Yeah,
it's really, you know, it's really fascinating. So, you know, it deals with class issues again, not as well as Parasite. I felt Parasite came out of nowhere, and you know, kind of sucks you into that world. And while this movie is fun, I mean, I haven't seen the Star Trek like you have, but. Nothing in the plot surprised me too much. Not that it's not well made, not that it's not well acted. I mean, I still think it's an entertaining film, but yeah, I don't know. I was waiting for a surprise, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not all I got to say about it.
Yeah. That's all I got. Yeah. All the CGI on the worms is pretty good too. Like I never felt like they were like, I didn't really feel like there was an uncanny valley with those things.
No, even when they did the close-ups of the leader's eye.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know if it was practical. It could have been. Getting those creatures to emote the way they did was pretty, pretty well done.
Yeah.
Next up is a segment I like to call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Not a lot. I watched some documentaries. There was one, I forget what streaming service, it was probably Paramount Plus. Happy Happy Joy Joy, the Ren and Stimpy story.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Growing up, my mom hated that show and didn't want us watching it. So I pretty much missed out on it. So I learned a lot from this documentary, mostly how the creator sucks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And has ruined the legacy of the show. It was a pretty groundbreaking show back in the day. Obviously, came out on the new Nicktoons lineup. You had Doug and Rugrats, and then this really fucked up show called Ren and Stimpy. And then the creator of it... was really like rude to like his animators and everything, and did not take criticism from the network very well, and basically got the show canceled for being so difficult to work with. I think it lasted like 2 or 3 seasons, and then it was later revived on Spike TV for a short run of new stuff, which I missed out on too. But the big thing is like. Later in life, he got involved with younger women, like really younger women, Yeah, I got into trouble for that. So that kind of really ruined the legacy of that show. Still inspired so many animators, and like really kind of springboarded into like, you know, that style of animation is kind of like what SpongeBob is today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like plenty of stuff, came out of that, and like the animators from that show just went on to doing bigger and better things. Yeah. So that was pretty interesting.
That's a lot like, Rick and Morty.
Yeah. I feel like Rick and Morty came more from Adult Swim sensibilities, but
I mean, in so much that the creator of it, was difficult to work with and preyed on young women.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a recurring thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cause yeah, there's some other show that had that too. I feel like. Ugh, anyway, the other documentary I watched was 1982, The Greatest Geek Year Ever. It's just a documentary about how all these like great cinematic things came out of 1982, which, you know, we did auditorily on our show.
Stolen idea.
Yeah, but yeah, they have interviews with professional people talking about the films. But towards the end, it kind of devolves into like other at like sub avenues of like they kind of represent like horror movies of 82 and sci-fi films of 82, but like they miss out on animation from 82. It kind of like sidetracks a bit towards the end for like not movie related stuff. So, but otherwise it was pretty cool to backtrack. And yeah, like see interviews from people that were like involved in the movies of that time. Cause, yeah, it is a pretty impressive year. Yeah, what'd you watch?
It's funny. I kind of did the same thing. I watched a couple of fun documentaries. I watched Playing with Power, the Nintendo documentary.
Oh.
Which is really fun.
I think I've seen that one.
It's on Prime now because it came out. I remember them talking about it. Remember the website? I think it's Cackle or something.
Crackle.
Yeah. They, is that during that time when, you know, Yahoo, relaunched Community and all those kind of internet people would put out stuff.
Yeah. Like Quibi and stuff.
Yeah. But it's cool because it's, it's, I think, 8 episodes and each one is over an hour long. And the first one literally goes back in time when they were a card company, and it's narrated by Sean Austin, and it just traces their history, and each episode is basically a new console. So it the first one is the card game, and then it starts going into, you know, Donkey Kong. And then the NES and Famicom is the next one, Super Nintendo, so on and so forth. It's really fun.
Yeah, I think I did watch this.
Yeah, because I remember they put it out in like parts online.
Yeah.
But now you can watch them all on Prime. And it's like I'd never saw it. And I mean, I knew a lot of the stuff, but it is kind of cool to go back and, you know, hear the creators on how they did things and... yeah, so I just had fun with that. And another one that is on Prime that I watched is Icons Unearthed, The Simpsons. That one's really fun, too. And they how they first, when they're on the Tracy Ullman show, how they try to just capture Matt Groening's art drawing style. And then they realize that he's not a great draftsman. And how the animators defined the look as we know the Simpsons now, you know, a little rounder eyes and a little more pleasing aesthetically. And Matt Groening, he's not in the documentary, which is a little weird, but he was all for it because he knew that, you know, he comes from comic strips and these guys really just, you know, helped build the Simpsons how it was. But it does have a lot of interviews with the people behind the scenes, which I always think is fascinating. But yeah, it's cool. Cause I did that, Prime, you know, has an algorithm and it, there's a bunch of other icons, thing. The next one I have on my queue is Batman, which is the Batman movies. So that should be fun. Yeah, that's all I watched this week.
Sorry, I'm looking up to see, like, I feel like I've seen all these that you're talking about.
Yeah, I've heard of the icons unearthed or unleashed. I forget how they say it, but I know they started putting them out on Blu-ray, so they've had to have, you know, been on TV or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't Google it. It's like I put Amazon Prime icons docs, and they're like, would you like to download this developer software? Do you want these icons? Like the logo? Useless. All right. Anyway, cool.
Yeah, that's why I watched this week, because each one of those documentaries end up, they're like 8 hours long each. but they're fun to put on and kind of just, you know, watch something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing all like the blueprint art for the Nintendo one. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched that and talked about it.
Sweet. Yeah, that's all I watched this week.
Remember on G4 when they had like basically docs for video games with like Tommy Tallarico or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss those.
Yeah, I miss what was the name of the show with Olivia Munn and
Attack of the Show?
Yeah. I like that show a lot too.
Yeah, just those like docs of like Shigeru Miyamoto and everything. Just just on rotation. Back when gaming was awesome.
Did you download the new Nintendo app, Nintendo Today?
No, not yet.
No, it's fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I could get the same stuff from the web. Like
you can, but they will send you like daily updates, and then they have, yeah, I mean, it's cute. You can pick your theme of your app. Mine's Mario, but you can choose Zelda, Pikmin, Donkey Kong, and Splatoon. So they'll send you updates every day, and then they have classic game guides on there. So it's fun.
Did you get the music one?
I did.
Yeah.
That one's fun to listen to, too.
I'm so anxious to, like, get back into my storage unit and get my old GamePros to, like, flip through the earliest ones to, like, relive all those fun ads and things. And, yeah.
I know that's the one thing, you know, we talked about it before, you know, getting rid of stuff. I wish I still had my Mortal Kombat GamePros and... I've always wanted to steal the GamePro guy rating system and put it on our website.
Oh, yeah. I just have to get my ass to, like, to sit down and turn your head into a graphic, which I've got one done.
Yeah. I mean, if you could actually help out the podcast, that'd be great.
Yeah. I finally do something on this fucking show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it more unique.
Do some actual graphic design for once.
Yeah. Well, because Because right now when I write all my stuff, I do like A through F grade, but I would kill to do like put the icons for the GamePro stuff instead, you know?
Maybe I'll do that tonight. Just like finish editing these episodes and just get right to it. And I won't do like a, you know, 1.5 and a 4.0. I'll just do 1 through 5.
Yeah, no, that's cool. If you go to, there's actually a website where you can download the stuff for free. And you could just, you know, tweak it so I could go on our website and put it on there and you could size it the right way, because I don't know how to do that shit. You're smarter than I am.
Yeah.
Because they have the 0.5s, and I like the 0.5 because remember, I think it's like 2.5 where he has the thumbs like that sideways. He's like,
Yeah.
I don't remember them, but I always wanted to do that because I thought it'd be really fun.
This is such like a specific thing of like, what's the difference between like a 2.5 and a 3, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah. I mean, I do A pluses and stuff, but I mean, it's not that big a deal.
I think, in an ideal world, I'd have like good, bad, mid, but yeah, 5 I know, can, because 5 I can't get behind in the honor, like homaging that, yeah.
Because you have that weird thing, you know, it's just like, I don't rate movies more than 3s.
What?
Yeah, I can open up your letterbox and you probably have like 3,000 movies at three.
Yeah, have you seen the movies I watched lately? They are threes. You know.
Anyways.
Yeah, five's not special if I give it to everybody.
Yeah, but it's about how it makes you feel, Brad.
Yeah, these movies made me feel like, huh, okay.
Yeah, next week we're actually seeing two movies. We're seeing Looney Tunes, The Day the Earth Blew Up, and the other movie Black that Bag. Came out. Which one?
Black Bag.
Oh, that's right. Black Bag came out next week as well. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!